And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Feared here and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAU default studios of Freedom's of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Oh, that was for you, Paul. Wasn't that? That was better than most. Okay, all right. All right, we got Paul Rosenberg on. He has a newsletter, Free Man's Perspective, Parallel Society. And there's something that you're going to be shifting the name to Parallel Society or something. What are you talking about there?
Well, what we do now is, you know, Free Man's Perspective has been the name for forever, but we're also doing more of a focus on parallel society. So the monthly newsletter that I put out, we still put it out every month, just as always. Some issues are Free Man's Perspective in what we call the classical format, and some issues are Parallel Society, which is more dedicated to what exactly we can do right now today. And how we do this, and how is it going to work, and how can we get the things we want, and how can we build them right here and right now?
With
and
or
I
without
alternate
a,
between the two.
With or without a permission slip.
Yeah, right. Hopefully, you know, without.
All right, so this is, you know, one thing that we're going to get to talk about today, because Paul is uber geek from back in the day. He's one of the original, you know, hacker crowd of, you know, 30 years ago. And continuing on with, this is what's going to happen when people get the ability to communicate. Oh, and I tell you what comes with that, censorship. Okay, so we're talking about when you say a parallel society, it's kind of outside theirs. It's going to be Pirate Cove of Bite Me, you know, and just do it, which is what I'm kind of looking forward to. You know, it's going to happen. Now, we're going to talk about quantum computing. That was one thing that you and I had talked about before, and even when we did our letter, Captain Mark, on first protocol is artificial intelligence. You know, what happens when your AI goes no? Then what? You know, you better have some negotiation. You know, going well. Paul has been, don't scare the people. Come on, man. You know, there's a lot of good and kind of, so. I think it was a balanced, I don't know if you remember the letter or read it, but I think it brought up a lot of good things. But here we have,
I thought it was balanced.
You know, quantum supremacy. This has been my bottom line, and I've said it many times. I am of the belief that quantum computing will make encryption now based on regular computers kind of obsolete, and thanks for the private code and your crypto's mine. You know, I'm going this. I think people are whistling past a graveyard. There's a much greater threat here that there'll be a transition and it'll go through and we'll get learnified. But people that know and people that don't know, the people that know and the sociopathic scumbags of whatever are going to take everything they can from the people that are unaware. That's my fear. So assuage that fear, Paul. Help me out.
Well, there will be some of that just because, you know, sociopaths, that's what they do. And right now, at least, most people don't want to know. You know, to care is to take a risk. You care about things, and you're risking stuff, or at least you feel like it. And so right now, there are a lot of people who just don't want to see and don't want to know and wouldn't give them any excuse, and they'll turn away. Those people will eventually get reamed, as they always do. But quantum computing, you know, it's a concern going forward, but it's not a gigantic threat. It's not.
Well, what is it first? Let's talk about what we're talking about. You know. I just give you some highlights of some stories. You know, Google's doing this thing. They went to 72 qubits, and I need to. You can explain first
qubits,
thing.
By the way,
qubits. Okay.
Qubits.
So you have qubits, 72 qubits, and they go, it's probably a little too big. They went to 53, and I remember, oh my God, they have a single qubit, you know, or two. So I'm going, all right, what's a qubit, and why do I care?
All right.
Qubit.
I'll do my best here. Stop me if I'm getting overly long. You know, we all know what bits and bytes are. They're a zero or a one in digital code. A qubit is uses the principles of quantum mechanics. What happens is if you get things so small, like the level of a single photon or single electron, things behave differently at that level. It's what, you know, people generally call quantum mechanics, and there's so much garbage on the subject that goes on. So many, you know, wild theories, and this could mean this, and they could do this. You know, they're just theories. But quantum mechanics is legitimate, and there's a lot to it. So what happens is when you get down to this single photon level, you can measure it as not just a zero as a one, but as zero and a one slapped together, which gives you another state. They call it quantum superposition. And it just means it's zero and one, and you really can't tell which one it is, but you put them together and you get some type of mixed state, and by manipulating that somehow, and I'm really not sure of all of the details involved because they're, you know, the papers are, you know, long and with lots and lots of math, then you can, you know, figure out what was the underlying bit even though you can't quite see it right. So that's essentially what quantum computing is. They're going to use this or another thing that's called quantum entanglement, which is like the subspace communications on Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, best way of putting it. If we can imagine they're going to do it.
Right. So, that's another explanation. But they have both these two things that happen in the quantum world, which is, again, super duper insanely small. And they have these things. They're trying to manipulate them so that they can break codes. And one qubit is one particle, a photon usually, or an electron, that they can check its quantum state so that it's a zero or a one or a superposition of zero and one. And it's really hard to do, Ernie.
You know,
the machines that they're doing have so much what they call noise in them that you can barely tell what they're doing. It may work someday. But, you know, what they're doing now, there has never been, as of earlier this year, I can't answer to what happened last week, but as of earlier this year, there's never been anything that was actually usable. They get a few, you know, tweaks and things in a laboratory, but to actually be a commercially usable thing, not even close. Not even close.
The way I can see the future, you know, people say, oh, it'll be years before, so 27 months later, all of a sudden, you know, and we're done. And I'm going, you know,
right.
For me, the future comes pretty quick. And
well, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, I've heard people talking about quantum computing for 15 years. And it's always, you know, going to happen next week. And it never does. But you know what? Even if it does happen, it'll be a problem. It'll be something we have to deal with. But first of all, it doesn't break every code. It breaks what we call asymmetrical keys, asymmetrical code, which is a lot of encryption systems. But it doesn't break symmetrical stuff, which, by the way, includes a fair amount of hash-based public key stuff. And by the way, we can use quantum too.
I'm not saying it's the summoning the demon or anything, but it is something to keep track of because it's like with all new tech. And, you know, we'll talk about it when we come back a little bit more. But we'll touch on it, but there's a lot of other stuff to talk about.
Yeah, Flames of the Crown by Captain Mark. The crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary. I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
Okay, what I'm going to do when we come back, I'm going to give my 30-second explanation of what I think the multi-positioning and entanglement thing means and possible future of. And then, yeah, you can make whatever comment on that. And then, boom! We're off on the other stuff. Did you watch, just out of curiosity, and I'm not even sure what I want you to say, did you watch Trump's UN speech?
No, I did not. I just saw Was it bad, huh?
No, it was kind of teleprompter-ish, you know, for Trump and kind of plodding through
right.
it. But the text of the speech was, damn, you know, everybody take care of your own country, going to take care of America, and you got, you know, America, and America is pro-gun and pro-life and pro-this and anti-that and kind of going to whip ass. And
boy, he's going to make a lot of conservatives very happy.
Oh, yeah. No, this was red meat just slung up, man. He had a shredder, man. He was putting the whole cow in, just spraying it all over the camera.
No kidding.
It was red meat everywhere. So it was worth watching. I had it while I was doing something, and it got my attention. All right, I'll sit here and watch it. And I don't know how long it was, half hour or so, but it was it was a campaign. This is the launch of his campaign to influence the world, you know. So then, of course, you had, you know, the Trump babes sitting in the front row, and that, you know, doesn't hurt. And then you got the Venezuela UN ambassador sitting there reading a book, you know, that kind of thing. She's got pretending she's reading a book. She's got looking up with the book.
Boy, they hate this guy. You know, I'm not a fan, but these people hate him.
He represents everything that they have been trying to drive out of America, what America represents, this individual thing. When he started going on about individual, and socialism bad, and communism sucks, and we're going to this and that, I mean, it was, the text of this speech was, I'm wanting to know who wrote it. It definitely sounded like Trump. You know, it was measured. And I know they were talking, you don't go off script. I'm telling you, Dad, I'm going to slap you.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it was memorable to the point that I bet they don't talk about it. Or anything they talk about, they're going to have to generate whatever the hell they're going to do. You know, but I'm feeling this election cycle is way more interesting than so many others, because for the first time you have a much more informed populace with the means to communicate, which is why they're deplatforming. And I'm going, they mm-hmm. can't have this people get to have a say thing, man. They're not digging that at all. So anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit. Let me do my, you know, quickie quantum relevance thing, and then we'll get on this other stuff. Here we go.
You got it.
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, there's nothing more funky than quantum mechanics. All right, so what we're going to do is, let me just give you a 30-second my perspective of kind of thing, as I've been following this, blah, blah, blah. I've watched a lot of stuff, and it best goes, best example I kind of pulled out of it and people talking is this. When you drop a drop of coffee into the center of a coffee cup, it'll create a wave that kind of bounces against the rim. You got this wave. That little circle wave, that is where, imagine that is where a qubit, is, or what do you call it? Qubit. Yeah, yeah. You got a qubit in there, and you know it's in that wave because that qubit is making that wave. You know, it's like having an LED light on a spokes of a bicycle wheel, and you go, "Ooh, I know it's in that line. It's right there. It's there somewhere." And if I was to, you know, punch it, I might hit it. I might not hit it, but I know it's in that circle, that line, that wave. It's in there. Where is it? Well, it's kind of everywhere. You know? Well, what's it? I don't know. It's got qubits have positions. They have like a pole, a rotation, and you can measure that. Whereas on regular bits, it's either it's there or it's there. It's yes or it's no. Well, with this ring, it's kind of superposition. It's yes and no. It's everywhere. And where is it? I don't know. It's kind of sort. Well, you start getting more of these in there, and it gives you kind of the average. It's a percentage. It's never. It's in this ring. Where in this ring? I don't know. We got another qubit that's kind of orbiting, and then we find out where that one is. And so it's multi-positional. It's everywhere. That's why when you have the slot thing or the ray thing, they're going, is a photon mass or a wave? And that's why if you're looking at it, it gives you, you know, a different pattern when you fire these photons through slits in paper. And it's whether you're looking at it or not, because when you blink your eye, you blink real fast and you can see where that qubit is on that spoke that's going around. You see my point? That LED light. Mm-hmm. So when you take a flash and you're looking at, boom, it superpositions and it comes down to a point. It goes, all right, I'm here because you caught me. You found me. All right, I'm here and I'm in this position. By being able to do that, that means it's instead of having a line between an off and an on, and you have a qubit and a line, you're looking at a sphere. So imagine a qubit is inside the Earth. It could be north, south, east, west, and, you know, at the center, towards the outside. It's in that ball somewhere. As opposed to regular bits, it's just a line or it's a point. It's superpositional, and you have a bunch of these superpositional. It gives you like a average. It's a 99.9999, you know, likelihood that the answer is, you know, whatever the hell it is. But it's superpositional. It's everywhere all the time, which means when you have encryption with the how many atoms in the universe plus, you know, 10 times that, and then you're going to find the two digital pairs that go, well, quantum is seeing all of it at the same time. That's how I look at it. It is the answer is always in quantum, and the more and more qubits that you get in there, qubits. So you get more and more qubits you get, the more and more exact you get to where that the point or the answer is by a percentage, a very high percentage. It's not an absolute thing, but it's a, you know, it's enough, close enough for, you know, government take you over work. Okay, so this is what I fear. That the superpositional, now quantum entanglement is a different thing, to where you have two particles, if it's created from the same laser light and you prism off two photons, well, they're entangled somehow, as an easy example. So you have them entangled. You do something to one, you change the position of that one, it immediately happens to the other one that can be contained in a communication device, and the Chinese did this a couple of summers ago to prove it in space, that you have instantaneous communication. This is what Paul was talking about, subspace communication. How the hell is it, you know, Star Trek is way out in the middle of the whatever the heck, and they instantly talking back, and then sometimes they can't, and they can't. It has to be a, you know, quantum relay or some crap like that. And what did is that they talk into like a microphone here, and it vibrates or changes the same thing to the entangled particle on your spaceship or something. So you have instantaneous communication, transfer of knowledge, Bitcoin transactions, whatever, here and on Mars without delay. Faster than the speed of light. Instantaneous, no matter how far. Next galaxy, whatever the heck. This is what they're talking about and what's coming. How far off am I?
Well, that was, you know, close enough.
Yeah, that's not.
I mean, that's what they would like to do. Now, the fact that theoretically it is that way, and there is experimental confirmation for the basic effects, that's no argument. The question is to make it into a commercial product, and they're a long, long way from doing that.
Yeah, it's, yeah, define long.
Well, I've been waiting.
By flying
I've been
car
waiting
long,
at least 10
you know?
Years. I've been waiting at least 10 years, and, you know, every 6 months or so, a story comes out to say they just got a new breakthrough. It's coming now.
Yeah, well, I've been waiting 50 years for my flying car, and I'm finally kind of sort of almost going to get one.
Yeah, me too, Ernie. Me too.
Yeah, you know, so this stuff to say never is kind of a, you know, it doesn't flush with me. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's in its infancy stage, and you wonder if it's, you know, propaganda. They're selling stock. They want to scare us. You know, I have no idea. But to think that it's never going to come and be a concern.
Let's look at the other way. Let's say it does happen. Yep. Okay, let's say that next week somebody in some lab somewhere figures out exactly how to do this, and it's great, and it will work, and, you know, so on. Okay, that sucks, but by the time they have their computers built and they're actually selling them at the Apple Store, we will have, you know, post-quantum computing. People are working on it already.
Yeah, I know, but it's always DARPA gets it first, you know? It's always Department of Rumi.
DARPA tends to get things first. That's true. You know, they can pay stupid engineers. I don't mean stupid in terms of IQ. I mean stupid in terms of ethics. To work for them, you know, under this idea that they're, you know, going to save the world from, you know, Osama bin Laden or something. But, you know, it's just it's not that terrible. We have things right now that are quantum resistant to a very high level, symmetrical keys, certain types of hashed public key stuff. Right now, you know, oh, well, yeah, it's quantum, but there's one particular algorithm they can use to make it even more souped up. Yeah, fine, okay, double your key size, and that probably is good for the next 100 years. So, you know, you're going to have to act. People are going to have to do something, and the people who, you know, just live on Facebook and Google, well, then, you know, they're...
Yeah, get some physical silver.
Anyway.
You can't quantum away my silver.
Yeah, and you're not going to be able to quantum away Bitcoin. You know, if those things come along, we'll just rewrite the program a little bit.
Well, this is what they call SHA-256. You go 2 to 256. It's like 2 times 2 times 2 times 2. So 255 is half of 256. A lot of people got this exponential thing. So 257 is double that, you know. So it's just gets stupid. And now they're looking at 1024. Yeah. 1024 bit. And I'm going, so that's double, a whole bunch more times. They go, what's quantum resistant? They go, resistant. What does that mean? So it's something that shouldn't be ignored, in my opinion. But
oh no, you're correct.
If you can grow,
should not be ignored.
If you can grow vegetables, you got silver. You got physical friends, you know, real friends that are like you can touch them and stuff. You know, you might be better off than most. We'll be right back. Now we can talk into the physical most and done with that.
You know, okay, deal.
Because this is what I want. That's exactly what I wanted to do. Kind of get that. It's on the radar screen. We go to the next thing. Now this cool. is. It interests me to see how people act when there is no threat of punishment. They tend to reveal themselves. Okay, so that's what got me interested, you know, and kind of as a good start for your newsletter. So I want to expand on that, and we'll go through it, okay?
Sure.
All right, we'll do that. So how's every little thing?
You know, mostly pretty good, Ernie. Yeah, a little BS here and there, but mostly pretty good.
Yeah, I got some government BS coming up. This 2020 election cycle is going to suck me in, man. Because they're just so bad. They're such a good example. I just like, you know, they go, well, you're never going to win if you do that. Nobody's going to like you. You know, they try and gaslight you. And are you sure you want to take that? But I'm going, you know, not only am I sure. How many hundreds of banners do I want to put up? You know, I'm just, you guys are just so easy. You're barrel fish and I got a shotgun, man. I mean, it's just, you know, I whatever. So this is, I meet with the legislator. I don't want to say openly, you know, who, because whatever. But they, you know, I know and connected and there's, you know, and somebody that, I think they may not tell me the whole truth kind of thing, you know, or I just assume them not, you know, say anything rather than lie to me, because that's always a bad idea. You know, don't answer. Don't sit there and BS me. That makes you one of them, man, you know. So I think we're going to get a good bead on the lay of the land here, because I haven't paid attention. I don't care. But I know what to look for. And it's not just the bills they introduced. Everybody introduces the hundreds of, see, I'm a good guy on this issue of it, sat there and nothing happened. Then you have, I'm chairman of the whatever, but it never made it out of the committee to get voted on by the committee. That, you know, so it's just games that they play. And I'm like, oh, God, don't get me looking, you know, think I'm going to be susceptible to your games. So what I want is I want to make sure that we get a bead on who we're up against. You know, what is the mm-hmm. you know, this shadowy, faceless kind of thing. But a reporter called me Monday Monday. And, well, I just wanted to, you could tell. It was one of those, well, do you really think, and what would you say to the devil's advocate of the opposition? I go, so it was like, you got, what, an interview card that Big Pharma sent you or something? Seriously? I go, look, it's just coming down to the credibility of the whole system, including reporters. And I go, be careful.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm telling you, this is going to, what are you going to do when you say, well, I just do both sides. So they're hedging themselves, you know. They'll bring out, make sure you say this about that. And I'm so immune to this crap, and we bypass it.
Yeah.
What's going to happen is we're going to make a whole bunch of our vaccine education summit that we're doing, and we're doing the logo with a QR code on it and put shitloads of them all over the valley and the state, and we'll send them to the site where all the videos are of it, because this event is just to make the video. You know,
okay.
We got the whole series of, yeah, go look here. And how many people go look at it doesn't even matter. That's not the point. It's that they, them, those are freaked that they can. How many people watch it? I don't know, but there's somebody watching it, you know. And
right.
It's
they
just,
can see this, yeah. They're not allowed to see this.
Right. And it's just that attitude. It's just amazing how effective that is. Call it the L factor, you know. You know, just they're the ones to blame for everything. All right, here we come back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I play air bass really good. You know who else plays air guitar on the radio? Yeah, tell me that guy, I'll compete. All right. So what we're talking with Paul Rosenberg, Free Man's Perspective, and his newsletter, he's splitting it into, you know, a parallel society. He's going to have another. Tell me the difference. You know, what is it that you're wanting to talk about? And then we'll talk about your newsletter here. I got some questions. But, you know, why the change?
Well, to be honest, you know, Free Man's Perspective was held, I do hold it to a ridiculously high level. For an article to run, for an issue to run, it has to be, in my opinion anyway, it has to be important. It has to be something that's never been written about before, or at least written about anything like this way. And it has to be interesting. So, you know, I had a long backlog of such stuff when I began writing it in 2011, I think. But eventually, I couldn't put him out at that level every month. Plus, at the same time, you know, you get an endless stream of people saying, "Yeah, but what do I do right now?" And so we put out, we shifted gears and said, "Well, we're going to do something called Parallel Society: How to Build It, What It's About, How to Do It Right Now, Here, Today. Here's things to do." So we now split it when I have an issue of the original model, Free Man's Perspective, that I think meets the level that I want. I will write that one and put it out. Actually, I'm putting one out next week on why is it that the wicked prosper? and the other months, we do something like the one we put out in September is how to use crisis for fun and profit. And we go back and forth, too, depending on how much material I have that works and what's the best choice for that month. And I just go in between as whichever is best.
Okay. And so the difference in parallel is what flavor? Just to kind of, you know, just a blog of I just don't want to have to babysit this thing and you get the inside of Paul?
Well, you get the things that matter and what can actually be done with them right now.
Is that going to be a separate...
And we cover a lot of other things. We cover what's going on in the outer world and economy. We have a little portfolio thing that we, you know, it's dedicated to outside things. I don't pick stocks. And we, you know, have what's going on, where are the most interesting meetings, what are the most interesting things that appeared on the internet over the last month, stuff like that.
Is it going to be an additional option that you pay for, or is it part of the subscription package for Freeman's Perspective?
Nope, it's all part of the same package. And
one more reason!
Right. Bonus.
But wait. There's more. So go right. to, where would they go to subscribe to your newsletter? Because I enjoy
man's
it.
Thank you. Freemansperspective.com, just the way it sounds.
Yeah, it's just a
perspective
on things com. That you wouldn't kind of, freeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N, S, without the apostrophe, perspective.
Right.
And, all right, I'll spell it for you because I don't know how. P-E-R-S-P-E-C-T-I-V-E. There, I said it. Okay. So freemansperspective.com. Now, in here, when you talked about, you started this off, it interests me to see how people act when there is no threat of punishment. They tend to reveal themselves. And you start off with that. What are you talking about?
I like, and I hate to say this quite this way, but I like breakdowns in disaster areas. Not that I want people to suffer, but because the normal rules of life are suspended in them. I used a couple examples in the newsletter, and I've had a few others. One of them was 9/11. I was actually called in or asked in a few months later to be a second set of eyes. My old buddy Jack was running the disaster recovery for AT&T there, and it was a big, big, big deal because it was kept out of the press. But this building there, it's now called the Verizon Building, used to be New York Telephone, had all of the telephone circuits in and out of Wall Street. So if this building isn't up and running, there is no Wall Street.
Ooh, can't have that.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was a very big deal, and Jack was running the thing there. He did a heroic job. I mean, he did a magnificent job. But, you know, we communicated. We used to write for the same magazine years ago. And he said, look, I want you to come by and see my job. He was a little bit coy about it. So I went, and there it was, and we went through the building and, you know, looked at everything. It was really an experience because none of the things you're supposed to do in the electrical business were applicable. Everything was made up as you go because you couldn't even get materials there. They had a 13,000-volt electrical service running over an aluminum scaffold from the building across the street. You can't do that. You know, that's how people die. But that was the only thing available. So we had to figure out how to make it work without anybody getting killed. And I was, Jack did all the work, but I would fly in a few times and go through it and go through the situations and ask what he was doing here and go doing there.
Well, the reason your expertise in this is that you've written a lot of electronics and tech manuals on electricity and computing and so on. So that's why.
Oh, that was my business for a long time.
Yeah, I got to bring in Paul, man. Tell us how to do it.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Well, so what did that tell you? Why was that story come to mind when you're looking at there's no threat of punishment? What happens?
Because the rules couldn't be kept, and people had to do things a different way, and everything was very raw. Let me tell you as quickly as I can the great story from there. Jack is telling me about what happened. The building immediately behind his was Building 7, and in the basement of it was an FBI vault. And, you know, the building collapsed in the afternoon of the attack. But there were, you know, ensuing minor collapses for weeks, months afterwards. You know, that much stuff. It just, you know, it's unstable. So what happened one day is his guys were working like hell to clean up his building, and there was another collapse, and $20 and $50 bills came wafting through his building.
What?
And I made some... Yeah.
From
and
what?
I made some comment about, you know, the boys were happy that day. And he says, no, Paul, they wouldn't touch them. What? Construction, New York construction workers have $50 bills laying on the floor in front of them. They didn't touch them. They wouldn't let anyone touch them, Paul.
It's a trick.
They said, that's not our money. You leave it there. No one touches it. So when New York construction workers become paragons of ethics, I pay attention. And that's what happened here, and the reason was that it's the first time in their life that right and wrong were clear in front of them. 3,000 people had just been killed here, or whatever the number was, 2,000 some hundred.
Yeah, it wouldn't look good on their tombstone. He took
right, and everything
money.
Was very clear. Right and wrong, you know, right and wrong is an indistinct morass to most people. But here, for these guys in this situation, it was clear, and they rose to the occasion. Wouldn't let anybody take those bills. It was a fascinating little moment.
Well, I'm wondering, I mean, of course you have, you know, there's somebody going, I'll get some, but it was, you know, is it strong minority keeps the majority from, you know, ripping them off, or is it a majority that, you know, had, I mean, what do you think it was?
In this case, it was, as far as Jack knew, it was every single guy. I presume it was a very strong majority.
So even when they know there's probably not going to be a lot of punishment, there's some kind of ethics left in the minds of regular people that's going to save us in the future of when the disaster comes. We're going to talk about that more when we come back. Paul Rosenberg, freemansperspective.com. Get a twofer. You get Parallel Society. Here you go. And subscribe.
The overall picture in the real estate market today is one of frustration when you take many factors into consideration. The housing market pundits would have you believe that everything is okay, but the long-term trending on the real estate numbers say otherwise. You are starting to see another wave of commercial and retail center vacancies, which follows a downturn in the residential market. So when you are ready to sell your house, I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what you can expect before, during, and after the transaction. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way, and that includes professionals that can help after the sale to help protect your assets. So let's get moving today. Please feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819. Or visit my webpage at donnahancock.com.
To segue into the next segment, I want to, you know, emphasize this, but what I was hoping that we can get included in this thing is that character trait that produces that as things happen again. We're going to have an economic disaster, this disaster, that disaster. Would the best or the worst rise up, and why? Is it, you know, because of government surveillance or peer pressure, or there's some ethics, there's a grandma conscience on your shoulder, or what? I mean, what are they trying to take from us? To just why they need us, or people can show, yeah, we don't need you that much. You know, so I'm...
comes down to moral clarity.
Yeah, so that's, you know, where I want to go, what we can expect, what's under attack,
okay.
You know, where that is going to be an important thing as we get into this neck, that blah, 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 down that road you demand. So that's what we'll do, okay?
Cool.
All right, we'll be right back.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
You know, what might that be? How about some truth, justice, and American way? Where the heck that is? You know, that's one thing that I think Trump's UN speech was certainly perceived by a lot of people around the world. America has got its own kind of thing, and it's down to the individual. He kept emphasizing the individual, which is what makes us, I think, different and powerful as a nation. There's nobody to surrender. That's kind of why, you know, all these empires go to Afghanistan to die, because there's nobody to surrender. You know, they don't deal. Like, there's not a central command. There's like these tribes of the Valley of ours, and, you know, cousin Sharif over on the other don't care about. I mean, you know, it's our thing, kind of. You know, who? Oh, he surrendered. Well, I didn't get the memo, so I guess we're not going anywhere. So, you know, and I got a rifle. So this is just, it's a different mindset, and it's infectious, and it has, that was one thing I learned in the 90s during all of the anti-militia, take away your gun stuff in the Clinton administration. All these countries from Germany and Japan and South Korea were coming here and doing interviews with us and kind of what the heck is going on. And they didn't understand, no, our country serves the rights of the individual to do whatever they want, as long as they're not buying all that Second Amendment thing too, by the way. And they're just, yeah, but that's the collective needs you not be dissenting. I'm going, man, you don't get it. It, we don't operate in our heads that. Now, of course, the politicians would have us do that. But, you know, right. This is the battle. It's between collectives and the individual. So when you go in, when people don't have this threat of incarceration, a threat of, or there's nobody, integrity is what you do when nobody's watching, you know, that kind of thing. So that inherent in our society, gone, eroded.
Oh, no.
You're going to save us?
It's not
where
gone.
We're at?
Well, it's not gone at all. You see it, like we're talking before, in disaster zones. The real issue is moral clarity. If you get people, Americans and other people too, anywhere, well, not anywhere, but a lot of places, certainly in the Western countries. But if you get people in a position where right and wrong, creation and destruction, whatever, are clear, and they really see it and really understand it, most people behave pretty well. I mean, you get the occasional crazy guy, but most people behave really well. You see it, like I say, in disaster areas, because that's where things are finally clear. Yeah. You go to school, you listen to the newspapers, to the politicians, God help you. Their job is to make people afraid and is to make people confused, because you can't rule people who are confident and clear in their minds. It's really hard to rule. You have to give them reasons. You have to explain to them why it's a really good idea to spend $10 gajillion on something that has absolutely no proof of working. You need them to be afraid. You need them to be confused. You need them to be intimidated. It's much, much easier. But whenever you get people somewhere where it's clear, let's say there's a hurricane. There are all sorts of guys, hundreds, thousands maybe, who tied up, you know, a boat and a bunch of supplies and just got in their truck and drove to Florida or South Carolina or North Carolina or Virginia, wherever, to help.
They tried to do it with 600.
That's heroic.
They tried to do it with 600 bass boats for New Orleans and Katrina, and FEMA put an M16 in their face and said, turn around.
That's, you know, exactly right.
And I'm going,
That's exactly right.
I know, that was a perfect example for us libertarians on the air at the time. We're going, are you freaking kidding me? They're bad.
Very bad. I mean, and just, orders are their God. And that's it. If they're ordered to do this, they are, in that moment and in that condition, they are robots ordered by headquarters, and they are mindless, and their minds are turned off. And, you know, they're just, agents,
you know, I'll give you another one that just pisses me off. It's just so stupid. You'll have an 8-lane highway going in, 4 lanes both ways, and everybody's just blocking going out. Get away from the, oh my God, we're leaving, we're dying and flooding and whatever. You got a parking lot going out, and the other side is open, and somebody is driving going the other way over there, and they pull them over and ticket and arrest and whatever. And I'm going, Who made that decision? What idiot did that? You know, you want,
well, that's, you know, that's a result of this whole thing about the rule of law, and it's the law, sir, and blah blah blah, which means you are not allowed to think, and you are certainly not allowed to act on your own judgment. And this is the path to salvation. Yeah, well, excuse me while I, you know, curse up a storm here.
Salvation.
It's just it's mindless. It's mindlessness.
The government salvation. You don't want to get a demerit on your social credit score, do you?
Right. Right. Because it's the law. Oh, really? Was that law paid for by, you know, 15 different corporations and lobbyists? Well, yes, but it's the law. It's magic.
Magic. Know. Magic law, because it's written down. You know, this is one thing that I just don't like. Coercion You know, and a lot of times it's just you got to do it whether you consent to it or not. It's just even you know, like the vaccination thing. Informed consent was a Nuremberg deal. They're going, look, you can't experiment on people. You can't do it without, right. You can't do the Tuskegee, you know, experiment and give them all syphilis and black men and watch them die. And, we're trying to help you. We pat your forehead with the, you know, the wet cloth and everything and killing you so we can do some experiment. Whoa, informed consent.
Yeah, tell them vaccines, they have bad blood. Yeah.
Nope, you just got to do it. It's different.
You
know, government notions and potions forced into the, I'm going to have so much fun with this, Paul. It's barrelfish, barrelfish, shotguns, barrelfish. You know, so we're going to have some fun.
Yeah.
Well, this is when you have do you think people come out being better the bigger the disaster? Or is it, does it get, you know, dog eat dog as if dogs ate dogs? But, you know, I'm looking.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what do you think?
Oh, people get better. Not everybody. There's exceptions, and there's always complications. I mean, this is humanity we're dealing with here. You're not going to get a simple, clear, mechanical sort of output. But people become better if it's clear enough that they understand their morality is clear. Once you have that feeling of I did something that was right and good out of myself. Not because, you know, some guy with a gun was making me do it, but because I did it out of me, out of myself. It's what in the old days they used to call a conscious righteousness. When you have that feeling, it changes you, and you want more of it, and you begin to trust in your own self and your own judgment. It's a big deal.
Dead Man 2. Deadpool. He goes, you know, they were trying to convince you it's just four or five decisions. Four or five things that make you a hero. Four or five throughout your life, you just four or five things that you make the right decision, you become a hero. Four or five, you know? So it's just one of the, that was the point. He goes, four or five. All right. We're going to do, you know, take it for the team on this. And you just start acting that way and you get the positive feedback from yourself and others. It just reinforces it. So they kind of have to punish that to keep that down. Bad guys being bad. This is the sociopathic tendency of some people that gravitate towards this power. That's what we're up against. We're up against this sociopathic. And I didn't even really understand it until the last few years. You know, I'm going, wow. I was always wondering, what the hell are we? What is this thing we're against? It's that. It's just bad guys being bad because they can. What's going to stop them? The economic collapse of this, of that, a meteor? I mean, when is it finally we all go enlightened? You're not allowed.
Well, you know, honestly, I would love to have somebody set up something called a sociopath awareness organization or sociopath awareness foundation or something.
Got it.
Because once people understand this, the world changes.
We got it. You missed it. Got it. Already did it. Got it. You ready? Here we go.
Oh, where?
PiratesWithoutBorders.com, the last letter that we did called Scuttlebutt. It's Reprisal's fourth letter, and it's on reputation. And the point that we were making, you don't need a state-sponsored whatever, kind of a blockchain-y whatever. It's like a Yelp for people. You know, you have your reputation based on, you know, other people's but you got to be able to rate the reputators because then that get trolled and whatever. So we did this. Davi and I thought about it. We spent a lot of time on it. Took a couple of weeks. We wrote this, and we're starting to distribute it at, you know, crypto events and so on. And you go, here's the coding. You want it? And already it's starting to get some feedback. Like, whoa, okay. You should read it. I know you dig it the most, man. This is the future.
That sounds like it.
That's just exactly what you're talking about. I go, there has to be, but along with reputation of what? So you have to have an ID. Mm-hmm. Right? Not a state sponsor, but they got to know who you are. You know?
Right.
Don't, you know, that's it's an important thing. I don't have a problem with knowing who you is and the biometric of I get the you on my ship and whatever. Now, I don't care what you call yourself, but it's going to be your reputation precedes you. In Pirate War.
Very good.
Yeah, see? Nah. Paul Rosenberg going to be part of the whole thing, I guarantee it. We need to make sure, got to get some Paul, just like you, consultant to come in, make sure we don't blow up, you know, the building next to Building 7. And we're going to need to make sure that we're, you know, on the right path. And Paul's going to help us. Freemansperspective.com. And if you go subscribe to his newsletter, you get a twofer now. Woohoo! Thank you, Paul.
My pleasure, Ernie.
There, got that. Okay,
Twofer. I forgot about twofer. That's pretty good.
Yeah, hell yeah. Okay, now go check.
I haven't used that in a long time.
Go. I know, we're so old. Okay.
We are.
All right, are you at a computer? You can go to something?
Yeah.
Okay, go to PiratesWithoutBorders.com or Freedom's Phoenix and then click on the thing or whatever.
Okay, one second here. Actually, I might have it in this. Come on, where's Freedom's Phoenix? I know it's in here. Ah, screw it, I'll just type it in.
Oh, my God. Thanks for the extra effort. All right. On, right below on the left, that red box that says, you know, Pirates or Belay or whatever it
is. Yeah.
Okay.
I know the one.
You go to Pirates Without Borders. Then you hit.
I am there.
Read the letters of Mark online, you know, down to the right below the ship there.
Yep. Got it.
Read letters of Mark online. Then you go letters of reprisal. There's letters of Mark, letters of reprisal. Click on reprisal, and it's the fourth letter.
Fourth letter of reprisal, scuttlebutt. Right. Got it right here.
Okay. This is the point. We're going, gossip is what is the most dangerous to the crown. They want to control what the people are saying, you know, behind their back kind of thing.
That's true.
Gossip has the power to erode legitimacy, which in turn decentralizes influence. Gossip has the power has the power to topple empires. See, that's what gossip is a decentralization of influence. It's like you take a feather pillow and you open it up on the rooftop and then, go try and gather up the feathers kind of thing. I mean, you know.
Oh, that's a very interesting way to say it, Ernie.
Well, it comes from a story. It goes like this. They're talking about gossip. And a parishioner at a church said something untrue or nasty or forward a rumor about the pastor. And then it came out that she did it. And it was all unproved. She goes, oh, what can I do, to make up for this? I'm so sorry. What can I do? And he goes, all right, well, meet me on this hilltop over here. And he has a feather down pillow. And he goes, now let all the feathers out into the wind. And then it kind of went over the city, and it just kind of went out. And he goes, now you want to do me a favor?
Now go, put them back.
Now go collect them.
Yeah.
So it's like feathers in the wind, So I'm just going, ooh, that's good. Which is what they are afraid of. So we were working on this reputation thing. And I go, but first, and I kept emphasizing this, we had to include it in some way. First, you have to get who you're reputationizing for. I mean, it's got to be an ID.
Right.
It's got to go to that person. So we looked at different rating things and, comment sections on there. And the only one that I saw kind of fit what we were looking at was Yelp. Because if you're a restaurant owner and you got the competition down the street saying how many cockroaches you got and everything, what the hell?
Right.
So they, want to be able to look at who's rating it, what they have rated before, and what they say. So it kind of gives a ranking on their rating. So I'm rating the raters. So what I did is you'll like this. I got watchingthewatchers.online. I have that domain now.
Very good.
Watching the Watchers Online.
We actually worked on something like that years ago in one of the early crypto projects. I've still got the drawing of it. I'll send it to you.
Yeah,
it's called a web.
Absolutely. This is, we need to work on this, and maybe we can even create. We did this so that it would be created. It's one of the longer letters. It's 900 something words, and it's one of the longer ones, and it's kind of a black paper. It's not a white paper. It's kind of black paper. So we had, it's first you ID them, then you got, you're. Record their behavior through people reputation of yada 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 yada, but it is a start. And if you read this and you find any logical, I'll change it, I don't care, but take a look at it and see if you can see a white paper here inside our black paper.
Okay.
So this is, it's going to happen. Something like this is coming. I guarantee it.
One
thing that you'll like here. See, there's one phrase.
Open Bazaar has a reputation system built into it. I've never really gone through it, but I know it. They have it.
Yeah. No, this is what we're trying to, See, I want a reputation score that goes to an ID, not to a product or anything. It's like you got your precariat ship, You know, like you go on a cruise ship, you get an ID from them. Well, I don't care what you call yourself, but, you know, your fingerprint or bio breathalyzer, retina, whatever the hell, DNA is going to match this ID, and you can be Fred the Pirate on this ship and Joan the Pirate on that ship. I don't care, okay? But you're right. On my ship. I know who you are, and I know what your reputation is to this ID, to this person. Not state-issued. Mm-hmm. I don't give a crap about that. Now, let me read this here, and then I got to go, but... The Crown delights in putting down an occasional dawn revolt and then casually executes a dozen political prisoners before breakfast. But gossip,
yeah.
Rumor, derision, these are what the Crown fears from the black. Even the casual scuttlebutt can induce paranoia when power is tenuous. Gossip has the power to erode legitimacy and decentralizes influence. Now, when... You want to get ID from the state. This is our opinion on that. Among pirates, our credibility is everything. Cultivating renown can expand your opportunities, shield you from false claims, and even earn you a ship and a loyal crew. But infamy can get you ostracized, blacklisted, and thrown in the bilge. However, libelous allegations from the Crown are practically a resume at sea. This is your rap sheet from the Crown, and you did, let's see, you voluntarily sold, you know, this, and you engaged in business that without a permit, and you did, and kind of, okay, that makes you a good pirate.
Yes, it does.
So, the libelous allegations.
Did you deliver the product that they paid for? Yes, okay, you're cool.
Yeah, you see my point? So I'm going, all that crap, well, he did this without a permission slip, and he did that, and he didn't get permission for that, and I'm going, God, that sounds like a good pirate to me, man. You win. Woohoo! Yeah. You get a stripe. So this mindset is, and put this in code, take a look at this and just send me a quick paragraph on.
I'm printing it out right now. I won't be able to get to it till late in the day, but
No, whenever. I mean, you know, no pressure. Whenever you feel like it, you got to go to the bathroom or something. But, you know, this is, I really am interested in what you have to say about this. I was thinking of you a lot when we were writing this.
Cool.
All right, I got to get to my next guest. Thanks a lot, Paul.
All right, Ernie. Take care.
All right, peace.